And we are live. Good morning, everybody. Today's conversation is going to be about reverse psychology. I talked a little bit about it with Ryan Stone on Monday. So if you didn't see that show, make sure you go check it out. I always have a good time talking to Ryan. I was feeling a little out of it in case nobody kind of saw it. But it's still a good conversation. A lot of this is going to be based around political dialogue, so I apologize, but not like necessarily directly about politics. It's just kind of like a trend I noticed and kind of a theme I've been thinking about quite a bit throughout the last week or so. So, sit back, relax, make sure you got your Sunday morning coffee. I'm drinking out of my, oh, you can't see him. Hold on. My Luigi mug. Black coffee this morning, no creamer. I don't think I have any creamer in the house anyways, so I'm good with it. I kind of got used to drinking black coffee back when I was in college, which, Jesus Christ, is almost 10 years ago at this point. So, anyways, I hope everybody had a fantastic week. It was a short week for most people because of Memorial Day, unless you're listening in places other than the United States. All that good stuff. So, yeah, make sure you hit all the links below to figure out where you can find me, support me, all that good stuff. Also, shout out to the channel members. I think Alex and Abrogate D's. I won't say his real name because I don't know if he wants that, but shout out to the channel members. $2.99 a month. You too could be a member and get early access to some of the videos that I'm going to start trying to produce. Maybe in the future, some hangouts with the guests that I have on the show. And also access to all of the footage that I get of a Common Crown playing out. Very, very low amount. I figured I'd make this as reachable to as many people as possible. So make sure you sign up to be a member if you so choose. I'm waiting for subscriptions to go up on Twitter. So, if you want to see me talk shit on Twitter and pay me for that, then you could do that too. You don't have to do any of this stuff. I figured I'd just make it a viable path for people who listen and enjoy what I do. Which isn't an insane amount of people, but the people who do listen, I appreciate you all, and I figured I'd give you a path. If you feel like what I do is worth your time and your money, then you could donate to me. So, links below for tigerfitness.com as well, where you can get all your supplements, get jacked, juicy, and tan. I use some the Swole post-workout amplifier and Vasky for pre-workout. To make sure you get all jacked and juicy when you're working out. Today's my powerlifting days, so, not really going to get a huge pump or anything like that, but I still use it regardless. And Fox and Sons coffee as well. I actually remembered to bring up my bag of Brazil Honey Prep. I have tons of these because I absolutely love this coffee. Don't tell Steven because I'm not actually drinking Fox and Sons coffee. I grabbed a K-cup because I didn't have the pot coffee ready. So, without further ado, guys, let's run the intro and get right into it. And one more time, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Shout out to the people in the chat already. Kevin, good to see you, brother. Hope you're doing well. It is, if I knew what time it was your time, I want to say you're 3 hours behind. So it's 7 a.m. your time, right? Am I right or am I wrong? Taylor Cam, good morning, brother. Hope you're doing well. Conrail as well. Hope you're doing well. Shane, my man, going to town on the Libertarian Party. You love to see it. I know I've done a lot of content on that in the last week or so, but it's just kind of interesting because we're supposed to believe that the Libertarian Party was taken over by our guys, and it was, and it's still kind of maintained by our kind of people. Or at least if you're listening to this right now, you're probably more of the Mises Caucus, dissident right kind of ilk. And then we nominate Chase Oliver. I mean, dude, it is so sad. It's upsetting, man, because once again, we were told that our people had the kind of had the reins of the ship, and then now we have literally Chase Oliver as our presidential candidate. And after much to Dave's credit, going on all these big platforms and promoting the Mises Caucus, then the best we could do is get Chase Oliver nominated. And yeah, there were some shady backroom deals. And yeah, I mean, he says some stuff that like it's actually good. I'll give him credit when it's good, but like that somebody wanted to have him on a show that I do frequent quite a bit and that I consider myself a co-host on. And I told that person that, like, look, you can have him on, but I will be nowhere near that because that is just brand poison. Like, I would talk to the dude in private, but there would be no recordings of this because I know that is just a great way for people to find that. And, oh, yeah, we're going to clip this. And then, look, your career all mine is done. So, at least, like, not right now. I mean, I probably won't because I think him and I are pretty far apart on a lot of social issues. When it comes to the kids stuff, and look, it's his month. Like, I know you're going to see tons of rainbows all over the Libertarian Party stuff. I want nothing to do with that. I consider myself more in the right wing sphere of things. Maybe I'm like a more moderate right winger, but, oh my God, I just can't be associated with that stuff. Shot a project this weekend, now leaving the airport, not a morning person anymore. Yeah, dude, I'm sorry to hear that because I am still very much so a morning person. So much so, my wife and I had went to bed last night at 7:30. I don't know what it was yesterday, but man, I was whooped. I had an old fashioned when we went to Outback Steakhouse because I'm like, you know, we haven't been there in a while, so we should go have some steaks. So I had some steaks. An old fashioned, I had a big old sweet potato, and then we went and did our shopping, and then we went to Applebee's, which normally we don't do this, but I'm like, you know what, fuck it, let's go get a drink. So I had two margaritas while we were there, and we sat down to watch TV, and I just like passed out. We went right up to bed, so yeah, I'm normally up at 4:30 in the morning, and yeah, I felt pretty good when I woke up, and I still feel pretty good. Took my pre-workout, did my workout. I mentioned, I think on the last show, that I'm adjusting my powerlifting or my lifting routine to more of a high volume approach where I'll do powerlifting one day a week and then high volume the rest of the week. So today I felt pretty good. 400 pound squat, pulled 515 for two, bench 285 for one. My bench definitely is my weak point, but yeah. Sam Whip, good morning, brother. I hope you are doing well. Would you rather have Tim pull? You know, I say anti-war stuff is my number one issue, and it is, but that doesn't mean that there aren't other things that could compromise that position. So when you are Chase and you're okay with the gender transitioning stuff, when you're okay with all this pride stuff and you really make that like a known issue, that kind of compromises, at least for me. Maybe for other people, it doesn't compromise them, but for me, this compromises you as a candidate. Like, I don't know how it's so hard to say, like, even Michael Rechtenwald, I would have voted for Michael Rechtenwald. I'm just not going to vote this time. But this kind of gets to the whole theme of the show, but I'm going to make sure I kind of shoot shit with you guys. I know plenty of people like Chase in my state. I'm cool with them, but I don't necessarily want my kids to hang out with theirs. Yeah, and I mean, if I was a dad, I would probably keep my kids far away from them as possible, too. And I know people talk about this stuff, and, like, I can't help but notice it at this point that, like, the gay couples always adopt little boys. Why? I mean, I'm not saying there's anything going on there. I don't know. I don't know these people. I can't reach into their heads and say, look, maybe they want to diddle something or another. I don't know. But it's super fucking weird, dude. It is very, very weird. And, yes, I am a total douchebag for margaritas. Jacob from the Biblical Anarchy podcast reminded people that the goal of the MC is to focus locally. I think we have largely forgotten that, unfortunately. Well, somewhat like 2 minds on this, right? If the Mises Caucus's goal was to decentralize, but then when you looked at how they handled the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, it no longer was about decentralization. And like, I'm of 2 minds of this too, where like, LPNH is going to have very, very bombastic messaging and be who LPNH is. That does have an effect on optics of libertarians as a whole, right? So at some point, you kind of do have to, and like, I'm not saying that the Mises Caucus came in and said, you can't do this. They kind of did when they tried to like commit a coup and blocked everybody. I mean, I think the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire Mises Caucus blocked me. I mean, like, congrats them at all. But like, they essentially tried to commit a coup in LPNH, which like all this stuff is such inside baseball. Nobody really cares about it. But I think what they were going for is trying to fix the optics of this, right? So when it comes to optics as a whole, yeah, you're gonna have to kind of keep it clean and at least appear somewhat professional. But now we get to the Libertarian Party National Convention, where Recktenwald, let's face it, had that Biden moment that I played on the show a couple times this week. It didn't look good. And like, look, if we're going to do all that stuff, like I'm good with drugs being legalized or criminalized, whatever, but that is like the last of my issues. Everybody knows I fucking hate marijuana. I can't stand the smell of it. Shit drives me nuts. I think most people who are smoking weed are kind of bums. I'm hearing lots of static. Okay, well, let me see something. I'm sorry if that's the situation. Echo cancellation. I don't know if I can make that echo cancellation. I don't know if did that fix it? Let me know if it fixed it. There's a fan on my computer that always runs. But yeah, so like when it comes to running locally, I'm like good with it. But I mean, we do need a national messenger and somebody that's going to promote libertarianism to more and more people to get them in. I turn on echo cancellation or cancellation. But yeah, like you need somebody on a national level to kind of get the message out there. And that's really who Dave is for a lot of people. And I think that's why a lot of people are looking forward to him running. Unfortunately, he didn't. And I think he is maybe almost taking too much responsibility for not running. But at the same time, I do think a brunt of this does go on him because like everybody joined the Mises Caucus because it was under the guise of, hey, Dave is going to run and he's going to bring back the Ron Paul Revolution. And to a degree, this is definitely like a covert contract, which is something I talk about quite a bit, and a lot of the Red Pill guys kind of talk about quite a bit, is that like covert contract is basically like, okay, well, Dave kind of in a roundabout way implied that he was running. So therefore, I'm going to join the Mises Caucus because Dave's going to run, rather than joining because we believe that this is the best way that libertarianism is going to spread is through the Libertarian Party, through the Mises Caucus. That covert contract, I think, was the primary goal for a lot of people in their mind, rather than saying, I'm going to do this because it's the best way for libertarianism to spread. And then we got what we got. And then you get to the National Convention, and then Michael Recktenwald takes a gummy and then has a Biden moment. And I think that really turned a lot of people off. And much to the leftist shithead, libtard, whatever you want to say, to their credit, they came ready to win. The Mises Caucus people did not. Now, should have people from the Mises Caucus kind of taken a little bit more stock and said that, like, hey, we're going to account for the potential that people filibuster and draw out this election process longer and longer so that way we beat them out? Yeah, they probably could have and would have guaranteed Michael Recktenwald got the nomination, but I mean, I get it because, like, you don't want to spend your entire Memorial Day weekend at the Libertarian Party National Convention. I wouldn't do that. And so I did. I was out on the river drinking Monster Seltzers. And yeah, I'm going to sit here as a peanut gallery and criticize because it's just what I'm going to do. It sucks, but it is what it is. So I think a lot of people are choosing to step away from the Libertarian Party because it's bad optics. I mean, to call yourself a libertarian now, a lot of people are going to be like, ha, you're with Chase Oliver. What are you going to do? Trying to get to this comment earlier. Or to pervert them to create more of them since that's the only way they can procreate, which I was too busy running my mouth to kind of get to that. Let me run an ad real quick and we'll keep rocking and rolling. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about the show's sponsor. We are now brought to you by Fox and Sons Coffees. You can see right here, I got the Den Blend Dark. Really enjoy that. I've been drinking a lot of their Brazil Honey Prep. Right here, as you can hear, there's not a lot of beans left in it because I've been drinking it quite a bit. Just to tell you a little bit about Fox and Sons, why I support them and why you should too, is that Stephen had started the company up in Michigan to help teach his son about entrepreneurship. I'm all about that, and I do firmly believe that in order to spread liberty in our lifetimes, we have to support those who support similar values as us. And Stephen does support all the same libertarian values that I bring and talk about on the show a lot. So go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout. Out to get 15% off of orders $25 or more, and there's always free shipping whenever you place an order that is more than $37.99. Find their coffee absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure you will too. So one more time, go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get yourself a little discount. Let them know I sent you and support the coffee that supports you. All right, guys, thanks. Back to the show. You know, one day I'll finally get like this whole audio situation set up a little bit better. But for now, you guys will just have to make do. I do appreciate everybody hanging out though, and especially for Tommy that they're stabbed in there because I don't want people to. Rechtenwald just felt forced into the fold. He really took an edible before the convention. Fucking dork. It's why I kept saying the Libertarian Party's political deity. Well, no. So like, my understanding is he smoked weed beforehand, which like, look, if you want to do that, whatever. But like, I don't know. In my mind, if you're going to do something serious, you show up early, on time, and ready to go. That would exclude smoking weed, doing gummies, anything like that. Having a drink. I want to be sharp as a tack. I don't know. I don't know how people do shit like this. Professionalism has always been something that's been beaten into me since I started working. So I don't know how you could show up for a serious political thing and expect to be taken seriously. But then do shit like that. And this is like before Trump spoke, is my understanding. So like very, 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 very bad optics. But yeah, maybe I should talk about reverse psychology now. Me and Ryan talked about this a little bit, but there's an interesting phenomenon on now. And part of this is because the Libertarian Party fumbled the ball. Oh, you know what? I'm going to have to put a pin in that. I'll have to put the ball. But yeah, also about Dave versus Cuomo. Yeah, I watched that entire debate, and that was literally like 3 hours of Dave just slapping the shit out of Cuomo. And I think I was talking to my wife a little bit about this yesterday, but like, we're never going to see the COVID regime get held accountable for what they did and for lockdowns and all this stuff. But what we do get is a consolation prize, which is a pretty damn good one, is Dave sitting there in front of an audience of hundreds of thousands, and now probably like millions of people, bitch slapping the shit out of one of the worst news anchors that promoted the COVID tyranny over 2020. I mean, there's something very, very satisfying about that. And like, I actually liked Cuomo, not like as a person, but I liked him for doing this and for putting his hat into the ring of alt media, even though I shit talk alt media all the time. I can respect him for at least going up against somebody like Dave, who he probably should have known is going to beat his ass left and right. I respect him for it, and I respect Dave even more. And to an earlier point, I respect Dave even more for taking accountability for the fact that Mises Caucus kind of fumbled the ball with the Libertarian Party and the optics. I mean, you can't get away from the fact that Chase Oliver being the nominee is just fucking awful optics. I want to pull up Pete's tweet because I was talking about this. This kind of goes in line with what I was talking about here in a second. A gay race commie is all anyone will know about libertarianism for the next 6 months. Yes, and Pete is absolutely right. I'll retweet that. But yeah, I mean, honestly, now that Chase won the nomination, that's all people are going to think of when it comes to the Libertarian Party is that, libertarians, aren't those the guys who nominated Chase Oliver to be their nominee for their party? Yeah, that's what it is now. That is going to be the image that people think of when they think libertarianism. They're not going to think Dave Smith. They're not going to think Ron Paul. They're not going to think me or any of the guys from antiwar.com or the Libertarian Institute. They're going to think about Chase Oliver. They're going to think about Joe Jorgensen. And this has been the way for a long time. And I don't like the ceding linguistic territory to the left, like a lot of people want to do, and say, oh, libertarianism is overtaken by progressives. I don't think that's true. I think that the Libertarian Party has been overtaken by progressives, but I don't think that means all libertarians are progressives. I mean, if I'm a progressive, then like, what the hell's a right winger? I don't know. I know some people don't operate normally while smoking. I know that people operate normally while smoking. Doesn't seem like that was the case then. Yeah. And yeah, Cuomo definitely deserves it. But to the point of reverse psychology, it's funny how you see people do this politically, and this is how you know somebody doesn't like think for themselves. Literally all you saw as soon as Trump got indicted is, oh my God, I'm voting for Trump now. Trump could have came out and called for all the same stuff that Chase does. And he, for the most part, actually has, with the, you know, exception of like the whole transitioning children stuff. He has not called for that. He is more of a closed border kind of guy, but like other than that, a lot of social issues and a lot of like government issues, Trump and Biden and Chase for that matter are actually pretty closely aligned. I know Chase is probably a little bit more get the government out of it, but like he's very socially progressive. But then so is Joe Biden and so is Trump. Trump is not some conservative. he's a pretty Tommy Sammons, friend of the show, always says he's Bill Clinton. Nuke, good morning. I was hoping somebody would stop by because what I want to do, and I'm too retarded to figure.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I would love to set up my redirects so that way, as soon as I'm done with this, it would ship all the audience listening here right over to Post Zero. Now, I was looking. I don't know how to do that because I'm an idiot. I don't know how I can make someone an admin. I'm just, I'm retarded. I couldn't figure this stuff out. But I would love to do like a, just once again, ship everybody over to Post Zero. I'm not a part of that, but I support what you guys do over there, and I always enjoy watching after I do this or, you know, whenever I'm driving around doing errands on a Sunday morning. I like to listen to you guys shoot the shit. And I know it's going to be an awesome show because you guys have Ryan Stone, Arch Winger, One More Please, obviously you, Nuke, Gov, and a bunch of other good people on there. I think Misha's in there as well. But you see Twitter just fucking light up with people ready to support Trump who wouldn't have ordinarily did it after he got indicted. And this is how you know people don't really think for themselves. They outsource their thinking to the political side. Worse, sometimes they outsource their thinking to opposite of whatever the Democrats do. Now, does that land you in a lot of the right positions a lot of the time? Yeah, but like if you want to be somebody that says, oh, I think for myself, I take action for myself, and I have frame, which is important, then you could, no, it's not using the word should there, you could look at these issues objectively and assess them through your own perspective rather than outsourcing your thinking to opposite of whatever X person wants you to think or, you know, exactly what Dave Smith does or this person does. I tend to view things through my own view. I look at past performance, what I want to see in the world, and how these issues align with my values, and then go from there. But instead, a lot of people now are just saying, oh, well, the Democrats hate Trump, therefore I like Trump. It's such a lazy, shitty thing to do, in my opinion. And once again, if my opinion isn't worth your time or worth your consideration, fine, you know, move on. But, you know, what happened is just having principles and assessing things as you see them. To throw it to Nuke, I'm not a good man. When people tell you good men do this, okay, I'm not a good man. Because my definition of a good man is defined upon what I think and my values. It's not up to you to decide. That's where I am politically. It's up to me to decide what's important to me. Okay, well, anti-war is important. I shouldn't say socially conservative values, but not transitioning minors is important to me. I'm actually putting forth more civil liberties and more freedom when it comes to politics and government. That's important to me. Trump doesn't represent that, so I'm not supporting Trump. Just because Democrats don't like him doesn't mean that I have to. Just because some libertarians like Trump doesn't mean I have to. I've decided for myself. And this is why I wanted to entitle this Reverse Psychology. And I actually want to just like look up studies on this and see what there is. So we're going to Google that here in a second. But like, if all it takes is somebody saying, I don't like that person, for you to like them, then I think you're kind of letting the world manipulate you. You're letting your strings be pulled by sometimes nefarious actors. And did anyone stop and think maybe this is what a lot of people want, is for you to just mindlessly do the opposite of what they say? Worth considering, at least. So you know what? Share this tab instead. Let me see if it comes up. We will go to, have this here. And I'm just going to type something random into Google. Reverse psychology studies. Simply psychology. Let's see. Reverse psychology, what is it and does it work? Examples of reverse psychology. And marketing strategies often utilize the techniques of reverse psychology to encourage people to buy goods and services. For example, in a 2007 study on reverse psychology and marketing, I'm not even going to try to say that name, and Thomas Fott described an example of reverse psychology tactics used by Prada store in Manhattan, New York City. The store has no outdoor signage or advertising, and there are no indicators that the store even exists. This gives the stores a sense of mystery and exclusivity because only those who know where the store is will visit it. Shoppers who do not want to be excluded will be more likely to visit the store to feel like they are worthy and belong. We'll just keep going on here. Sales strategies use similar techniques as described above. One common tactic used by salespeople is called door in the face technique. This is when a salesperson makes an outrageously high sales pitch to pressure the customer to buy whatever good or service is being sold. However, the salesperson is not actually trying to make that sale. They're really trying to provoke the customer to push back and make a smaller offer, but still purchase the product in the end. For example, if a dealer is trying to sell a car, the dealership should pitch the most expensive high-tech car that it knows the customer cannot afford. When the customer turns down the offer, the dealer then pitches the actual car they wanted to sell, one that's much more affordable. The modest car now seems more like a more reasonable buy for the customer. And you know what's funny is that I remember when the Green New Deal was being floated out, or at least like that whole thing with AOC where she had like 12 pages or something in Green New Deal that talked about like leveling all the buildings in America was floated out there. It's hard not to look at that and say, oh, maybe they're doing an overshoot so that way people come back to a much more moderate position that's actually realistic. That's kind of what they're describing there. And sometimes I think that they do this politically a lot more often than not. And Tim Pool had pointed this out. I remember watching a stream of his forever ago where he was saying that Trump was doing something stupid with the squad and got everybody up in a tizzy. And then he put through some bill about immigration that would work in his favor. And of course he says, oh, 5D chess. Well, you distracted everybody with something pretty radical, and then you can put through something that's a little bit more moderate. If I tell people, don't eat any sugar, don't eat any seed oils, don't do this, don't do that, you should do this, you should do that, then people may listen, but at the same time, they may rebound pretty hard. So if I give you guidelines, or I give you those hard shoulds, my guidelines being, hey, just try to avoid this stuff. If you have it, it's not the end of the world. Like, hey, try to avoid added sugars. Seed oils, actually, they're actually good for you, but you shouldn't incorporate too many of them because they add a lot of calories. Try not to drink too much alcohol. If you do, it's not the end of the world. Maybe limit to a few drinks a week and try not to have like any candy because that adds a lot of calories. That's a pretty moderate message. But if I tell you don't have any candy, don't have any seed oils, don't have any sugar, that creates a hard boundary. Then once again, what happens for a lot of people psychologically is that once they break, they say, fuck it, go off to the races. When you give people a hard pitch at first, then once again, maybe the more moderate offer seems a little bit more reasonable. I still have coffee in here. I've been running my mouth so much. It's funny they mentioned New York. I actually got this cup when my wife and I were in New York City. But anyways, let me put that back to the stage and we'll continue reading through this. In parenting, parents often use reverse psychology to influence their child's behavior and get them to do what they want them to do. Parents will prompt their children to choose what is best for them so the children feel like they're making a decision for themselves when in reality they're under the spell of reverse psychology. For example, if a parent wants their kid to eat vegetables, the parent might ask, can mom have your broccoli? You don't want it. The kid is likely to do the opposite and eat the broccoli himself, which is actually pretty funny. I don't have kids to fucking say one way or another, but I'm sure. Kevin, if you're still listening, chime in the chat. Does that work? In relationships, people use reverse psychology in relationships to get their partners to act a certain way. For example, one partner might suggest they do not think their partner can handle the task of making the bed each morning since they do not have time. The partner might respond by making the bed to prove the partner wrong. Using reverse psychology in relationships can be destructive, though, because your partner might lose faith in your words and become hurt if they realize you are trying to manipulate them. And this kind of gets to the bigger point where a lot of relationship stuff, a lot of political stuff, a lot of people are looking to manipulate you. Whenever people, once again, tell you about masculinity, good men, this or that, they're looking to manipulate you. They want you to agree with them so that way you fall into their perception of what a good man is. And I mean, like I said earlier, this goes right back to our buddy Nuke here. I'm not a good man. Reject their framing because, once again, you could have your own values and aspire to your own. World as whatever it is. Wow, there's a fucking ad playing in my headphones. That's driving me nuts. But yeah, you could do all these things, but that's up to you. The world is your oyster, man, you know? But everyone's trying to manipulate you. When I see Andrew Wilson on these shows, and like, I don't love or hate Andrew Wilson, when you see him sizing up and down people, he's generally trying to guilt them over into coming to his worldview. And when you shame people, then it's kind of funny because this is like a reverse psychology thing. You're going to shame them, and then eventually they're going to do the opposite of what they are doing and go to do what you want them to do. And think about a past relationship. I talked about this on Red Evening with Jack, which if you didn't check out that show, you guys should definitely go check that out. There you go. Should. But my girlfriend that I had in college, I remember I was kind of indifferent to her pretty early on, but I didn't have the guts to break up with her when I probably should have. And she wanted to be on me all the time, which... you know what I mean? Like, it was to the point where, like, get off, I just want to go to sleep. But it's funny how, like, I didn't chase her and she just always wanted to be on top of me. It's weird how reverse psychology does work a lot. If there is anyone who benefits more from Trump winning, are cultural Marxists. Well, yeah, and like, this is the thing where, like, Trump really emboldens the worst people. Not should use, I recommend. Well, you know what? It just depends, which people aren't going to like that answer either, but like, it depends what you want. I am not in the place to decide for people what they want. You are in the position to decide what you want. So should is up to you. I should do this. When I was talking a couple weeks ago about like what's best to lose weight, at least this is like what's best in my opinion. For me, I should do flexible dieting because I think flexible dieting works best for me. I'm not going to tell you what you should do. I give guidelines and tell you what works for me. And then from there, you can use that information to figure out what you should do. I can't give you prescriptions. But when it comes to Trump and like the cultural Marxists, he really emboldens the worst people to get out and unite together. And this is kind of true of Biden too when it comes to like the more better right-wingers, the populist right-wingers, and Make America Great Again faction of the populist right. Trump really emboldens Biden emboldens a lot of them to get together and do the opposite of what he's doing, which actually works out in the libertarians' favor, which is awesome. I like that stuff because I like to see more libertarian legislation being pushed through. So like, when it comes to Matt Gaetz putting forth anti-war bills, he would have never did that under Trump. He would have never put forth legislation to end the war in Somalia. He wouldn't be... Thomas Massie is somebody that I think... Sorry. Does a lot of good stuff independent of who's president. And this is why I like somebody like Tom Massie, because it's not... up to the rest of the government what he's doing. Someone like Matt Gaetz, he's depending on the Democrats to be reflexive of. And I think this is, like I said, something that you could take a huge note off of when you observe politics. You can notice people who are principled and take a stance regardless of who's in charge. Ron Paul did a lot of that too. Does reverse psychology work? Oh, get the fuck out of here. one. Oh, they want me to scribe. I am getting so many porn bots on my private account, which like my my other Twitter, it's insane. I probably have hundreds of them. I get like a notification a day that they request to follow me. Does reverse psychology work? Reverse psychology can work because when people feel pressured to act a certain way, they tend to prefer to do the opposite. This is based on Brehm's 1966 reactance theory, which suggests that an individual who feels a threat to his or her sense of freedom will experience discomfort, and that motivates the reestablishment of that freedom. Two studies from 2010 by psychologists Jeff McDonald, Paul Nail, and Jesse Harper examined the reports in real world of use of reverse psychology and investigated the prevalence and effectiveness of its use in everyday life. The researchers concluded that reverse psychology is a relevant real-world influence tactic that deserves closer study by the social influence researchers. Participants in both studies reported successful use of reverse psychology in their own lives. Specifically, in the first study, a majority of participants, 105 out of 109, which is 66%, reported an example of reverse psychology that was judged to be valid by two independent raters, also reported using the tactic more than once per month on average. The results of study two confirmed the real-world relevance of reverse psychology. It's important to note, though, that reverse psychology does not work in every case, and using reverse psychology can have inherent risks. Many factors must come into play for this tactic to work successfully, and some people are more susceptible to reverse psychology than others. I'm going to go with a lot of people are very susceptible to this, especially when it comes to politics, because you just noticed, like I said earlier, when it came to Trump and the indictments, just everybody couldn't wait to donate to Trump, people who normally wouldn't do it. Me, I'm just not voting. That's it. There is nobody on the ballot box who represents my beliefs or what I want, so I'm just not going to vote, is what it is. People will say, oh, well, they died for your freedom to vote. Yeah, and well, they died for my freedom to not vote as well, so take that one and suck it. But I mean, I think this really shows that people don't really think for themselves. They outsource their thinking to other people, and I hope I'm not the person that you outsource your thinking to. Please don't. I hopefully give you tools and information, then you can establish your own framework on health, fitness, politics, anything like that, and then decide for yourself how you can think about the world. It's not up to me to decide how you should think, and it's not up to influencers or anybody like that. And this is another should. You shouldn't outsource your thinking to them. At least, you know, you should have your own opinions and your own thought process and your own principles and decide who, you know, gets your time. Maybe I'm not worth your time. Maybe I am. I don't know. Ain't up to me. I have to think for myself on Sunday mornings as well. There's no end to this. Good morning. I don't know how much more I can kind of belabor this topic, but it's just interesting to see how people just instantly can't wait to do the opposite of whatever the people that don't like them do. I decide for myself. I decide my own destiny, and I do what the fuck I want to do. It ain't up to the rest of you. It ain't up to libertarians. It ain't up to the Democrats or Republicans to tell me what or what not to think. I'm just going to do what the fuck I want to do. That's really it. I just remember seeing Matt Walsh saying, I'm going to donate a sizable donation to Trump's campaign. Would you do that regardless of everything going on now? If you wouldn't, then why are you doing it? You can really be swayed by people like that easily. I think we should talk about the difference between social and cultural conservatism. One is more culturally based and the other is more social activism, slightly similar to progressive activists. Yeah, and you know what? I consider myself more of like a probably more social and cultural conservative, where like I have conservative values, but I wouldn't go doing activism. I talk about them and hopefully lead in a way that inspires others to look at me as a good role model for those kind of socially conservative values. Note that socially conservative minded people have a higher time preference, while most of the culturally conservative minded are low time preference. Yeah, you know, I always get this stuff mixed up when it comes to time preference. I should probably like read on that, because I know a lot of libertarians talk about that, but I just have trouble doing it. Anyways, I think that's about all I got for this one. A little bit shorter of a show this morning, but I figured I would just kind of get that out there. Big news for Common Crown. We have found our other guitar player. I don't know how many of our fans are listening, but our coming up shows are going to be with our new permanent guitar player, and I'm very, very excited. He's an awesome guy, and he fits very, very well. As soon as we started playing our songs, I'm like, oh, this is the guy. Like, we got him. So, show's coming up this month, Rock for Life on the 28th, and then Hender on the 30th. So, if you're in the area, feel free to come check us out. We've got tons and tons of new material that we're writing. We're probably going to unveil a new song at the end of the month. So, go to aconcrown.com to figure out all that stuff. And just keep up with us on Facebook. You can find me, Kyle Matovic, on Twitter. And become a channel member, please. If you find what I do valuable, if you're on these shows every single week, you can donate $2.99 a month. I'd really, really appreciate it. And it would help me kind of do everything that I do. You will get access to all the Common Crown's performances and early videos if I make them and all that stuff. The X3 Bar updated review just released where I go over all that stuff, which is an interesting video. So if you're looking for some home equipment, that's a great piece of equipment to have at home. If you want that. It's a little bit pricey, but for me, I thought it was worth it. I remember when I got the second stimulus check back in 2020. I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm buying it. So feel free to check that out. 5 till midnight, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And cognitive vigilance. I think we're going to be doing it this week. We haven't done it the last few weeks because I know Brandy has been feeling well. So, if you guys have got any questions, super chats, or anything like that, we'll call it there. Thank you so much for listening. The Common Crown links below for Fox Sun's coffee, the coffee that I drink, and the coffee that supports you and supports me. Tiger Fitness for all that good stuff. And until next time, everybody, take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.